Hi, this is John Doe, back again with a new commentary. So today I'm checking out Blue Steel, the year's 1990, directed by Catherine Bigelow. Watching this via Amazon Prime ad-free, guys, just for syncing purposes. Set the film timestamp to zero, film on pause. If inclined, put on your subtitles, and I'll give you a countdown in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hit play. This is a damn good movie. Not perfect. There are issues, but yeah, it's quite a unique experience watching Blue Steel. Interesting in the sense how it crosses genres. Action moving into revenge thriller and then out and out horror. Yeah, it's pretty unique, you know. Beautiful subjective POV shot. It's classic Catherine Bigelow, isn't it? Steadicam, shifting perspective as she comes into shot. Yeah, that's really nice, man. So this is Jamie Lee Curtis playing the character of Megan Turner. You think it's real? It could be staged. Is it real or not? Jamie Lee with the shortish hair. I like it. Die, bitch. Spoiler alert, it's not real. I don't get... How is this a failure in regards to set-up training sequence, but... I mean, how is she to know that the girl's going to take the shot? You know, pretty fucking ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, your initial target's the guy, so you're not even considering the fact that the girl's involved. But then again, why would the supposed boyfriend have a weapon pulled on his supposed lover? And she's also involved. Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah, kind of crazy sort of like training sequence. So this is a beautiful opening. Minimalistic use of music. Sort of like muted. Kind of like muted visuals, isn't it? Blue colour scheme. I think we're sort of like traversing our way over like police uniform weaponry, I guess. Title of the film is Blue Steel, and we're getting blue moments here. Very nice. Richard Jenkins, just for syncing purposes, guys. Make sure we're all in sync. Louise Fletcher, so that's our Nurse Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If I recall right, she's playing Megan Turner's mother. Just give me a second here. Shirley Turner. Yeah, I really like this muted soundscape score. Ominous. Taste of things to come, you know. This is a kind of like a stylistic technique in the night. Brad Fidel, Terminator composer, very nice. Yeah, sort of like stylistically... Really a thing of like late 80s, early 90s, sort of like action thriller cinema, muted soundscape, but very like psychologically pushing buttons, you know? Yeah, clever, man. I like it. So here's the gun. Oh, she's all kitted out. Nice shots here. Shot of the bra. It's kind of interesting. Just to remind us she's a woman, I guess. I don't know. A woman in a man's world, to some extent. We'll probably be getting to this throughout the movie. Yeah. A sort of like power struggle between like masculine and feminine elements, you know. Beautiful shafts of light. Coming through the interior. I love that close-up of Jamie Lee. That's wonderful, man. Yeah, the shafts of light coming through the police precinct interior. Yeah, fantastic visuals right now. That's probably arguably one of the strongest elements in this movie is the cinematography. Very, very dynamic throughout. So they all achieved their badges, promotion, officers, I guess. Massive gathering, you know? So it's NYC, if you're wondering, guys. We are traversing our way through New York City for the little number that is Blue Steel, baby. So all's well in the world. It's the calm before the storm. Ha ha ha. So I think this is like our best friend. Trying to think here. I think it's Elizabeth Penn, or Pienaar, sorry, playing the character of Tracy Perez. So we've got Tracy and Megan. Yeah, one's like a career girl and the other's like a family girl. So contrasting types. Yeah, I've always preferred Jamie Lee Curtis with short hair. So New York City, man. Back then, where are we at? 1990. Notorious city, dangerous, you know. Obviously now New York City's a lot safer, but late 80s, early 90s, it's still one of the like most dangerous cities in America. Look at the focal. How they Yeah, Jamie Lee, little like lens in focal moment. That's beautiful, man, with the visual. Kind of like a thing of the past. Now, films are just completely shot in a different way now. And when I use the term film, everything's, I wouldn't say like 100% moved into digital, but visuals, they just look completely different nowadays. There's a real lack of like contrast. I mean, obviously, we're watching a film here from the 1990s. You get the grainy, contrasting, as I just mentioned there, the focal length of the shot highlighting her. Yeah, a starker contrast back then with the visuals. Yeah, you really don't get this nowadays. I just think it's the fact that films are, well, as I said, they're used in a different format. So here we have Louise Fletcher. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, baby. Plays an absolute bitch in that movie, doesn't she? Nurse Ratched. And I think the father character, if I've got his name written down here, probably haven't. Turner, Turner, Turner. No, I ain't got it written down. Yeah, the father character's a little bit dismissive here. He's not happy the fact that his daughter's pursued a career in the police force. We'll get into it throughout, his reasoning why he's behaving this way. And it also highlights her motivational reasons why she chose that job, you know? So here we go, New York City late at night. You've got to love it. Early 90s, absolute fucking hellhole. Hoodlums everywhere, rubbish everywhere. Crime is, it's crime ridden, baby. Beautiful interior, police car shot, edgy lighting. Probably a studio shot, looks pretty realistic. So this is our partner. Seems a decent guy. So the reasonings why they've pursued this career path, kind of interesting. You're okay, Turner, for now, until she turns. Oh, they're gonna regret pulling over here, man. Fuck me, man. He caused it. A fucking sidekick. So Lucy's heroes. Hopefully it's just a brief stop off, eh? So this guy here with the long hair, he looks like the shooter, the Trump shooter. Crooks, isn't it? Fuck me, Crooks. What are you doing? I thought you were fucking dead. Yeah, it's an absolute dead ringer for the Trump shooter. Butler. Fucking hell, man. So across the road, what have we got here? Sloane's cafe shop. Jamie Lee looking on. Shit's about to go down here. Oh, here he is, old fucking Eugene Hunt. So it's old Ron Silver. And here he is, old Tom Sizemore. Cameo. Yeah, he's pretty low down on the credits list, so I don't know if this is like one of his earliest ever roles. Pretty memorable though. It's a brief cameo. Spoiler alert, until Megan Turner blows his ass away. So she's a little bit hesitant, isn't she? But understandable. I mean, technically, this is like, what is this, like her first night on the job, you know? Kind of like your training almost goes out of the window when this is it, the reality of the situation, you know? Yeah, there's a lot of like unpredictable elements at play. Yeah, training can only take you so far, but when you've got to face this within reality, yeah, very. You sort of like learn on the job. Beautiful light in here, half lit on her face. I love it, man. Music's very, very effective. Jamie Lee Curtis absolutely seen chewing the shit out of these moments. Smart, you go in, back entrance. Bit of a standoff, I'd imagine. That's usually how it unfolds. You know, some guy attempting to rob a, what's technically like some kind of like corner shop, innit? Open the, he wants the money. Don't want the food, he wants the money. Open the till. Of course, she's got to get a lock onto this guy. Tricky situations, innit? Innocent civilians, you know? This fucking hoodlum's locked and fucking loaded. There's a sea of boxes. Orange carton containers everywhere. Man's voice in the distance. Beautiful tracking shot here. Yeah, lovely subjective camera cuts. Jamie Lee's selling this well. She's getting a little bit sweaty. Very intense. So here he is. Sizing up Sizemore. He looks fuck. What is it with fucking robbers and fucking. I guess though, the black beanie is a. I won't say a disguise, but concealing his hair, I guess. She's got to move in. She certainly can't let him leave, but precarious, isn't it? I mean, training would suggest, i.e., you're moving in on him, you wouldn't take the shot. Yeah, I would. I'd just blow him away, man. This is a wonderful moment. Get out of my face, bitch. For like pure intensity, madness of Sizemore. I love it, man. Put the weapon down! Oh yeah, you wanna rock and roll? Bang bang! Take a tumble, Sizemore. Through a shattered New York City cafeteria glass, man. Yeah, very nice, man. Yeah, beautiful, like, editing rhythm. It's classic Kathryn Bigelow, isn't it? Very dynamic. So this is a pivotal moment here. Old Ron Silver eyeing up the gun. Seems like a likable fellow, doesn't he? Yeah, you're not suspecting anything here. He just looks like a average Joe, you know? So he's picking up Meaty's gun. I wonder why. Interesting. Yeah, I've got issues with this moment. We'll get into it in a minute once they start establishing the Eugene character a little bit more, you know? The old deer with the curling tongs. Fuck me to the left. That's fucking. Holy shit! Jesus Christ, Megan. First night on the job and you've blown somebody away. How unfortunate. So here we go. So we've got Eugene Hunt swimming in money. He's a Wall Street wanker type. Sophisticated, highbrow. Yeah, if you're watching this film for the first time, you're like, why are we now tracking this guy? I'll see if we're going to get into it here. So he's psychologically unhinged. And is that the reason? What, because he's just witnessed a robbery, police officer killing a bad guy, now he's all on edge, or was he always like this? Yeah, I've got issues, man. Not with this moment here, but it's kind of like the triggering point. The fact that he's just picked up the fucking bad guy's gun. And at what? This has now set all of this off. Yeah, there's a lot more before the moment him taking the weapon, you know? There's way more to this character. I don't buy into the fact it's now the gun that's triggering all of this. Yeah, there was already a prehistory to this character, you know? So this guy's a complete fucking bastard. So we're gonna get into this sort of like ongoing power struggle here between like men and women. Sort of within the police department, you know? I don't know if you'd really like label this film like a feminist piece. I don't know, man. I ain't really gonna get into that, but Catherine Bigelow, certainly Jamie Lee's playing a strong female up against it in a man's world, you know? Again, beautiful cinematography. So here's old Clancy Brown. So he's playing the character of Nick Mann. Clancy Brown's got gorgeous hair, curly. I always think of Clancy Brown. I always think of like Shawshank Redemption, you know. Plays the crazed warden, doesn't he? And also, I think he was in Highlander, wasn't he? Plays the out of control bad guy. And visually, got very sort of like striking face, isn't he? Tall guy as well. So what? They're suspending her for doing her fucking job. But again, this is the power struggle, guys. They don't believe her story, and is that because she's a fucking woman, you know? This guy here, less so from Clancy Brown, it's the guy to the right sat down calling the shots here. He's really just like it's almost like he's got no time for her, you know? It's like you don't believe my fucking story. Why'd you put me through fucking training if you're not willing to believe me here and now, you know? Yeah, would they be going through this rigmarole? Is that even a fucking word? If this was a man, you know? Would they be questioning a man in a similar way here? I think it's the fact that she's a fucking woman. Homicide. So again, cinematography's amazing, man. Shafts of light, I love it. So it's just like a fish out of water. It's just, I mean, I know her mother's here, but it's just like 95% of the precincts. It's just men everywhere, you know? I like to feel like times have changed now. I wouldn't like to say. I mean, it's still, you'd have to say, fairly dominant profession in it, men pursuing the career path of like becoming a police officer. But over time, I'd imagine it will even itself out, you know. It's a solid SL right now. Solid opening. Oh, we down on fucking Wall Street. Yeah, that's fucking Eugene Hunt. He's a bit of a... So, yeah, New York City Stock Exchange. He's a bit of a gecko type, isn't he? Gordon Gecko, if you think of, like, Michael Douglas from Wall Street. There's bits of paper everywhere. So this is all piss end of the day, isn't it? Stocks have gone awry. What a crazed fucking job this is, man. Wall Street wankers to the left and right of us. He's going to commit suicide fast. 90, 10, give me a 1. What does any of this mean? It's just a fucking shouting match, isn't it? So it looks like they're actually shooting for real here in the actual real New York City Stock Exchange interiors, I guess. It looks pretty real to me. Easy enough to do, I guess, if you can have access to the premises and get, like, either, like, Eugene's shots or, I should say, Ron Silver's shots. Either get it on a wide shot or a medium close-up, you know? So he's still carrying this gun. I don't know, man. I struggle with this element. This is one of my minor criticisms to, like, the setup to this movie. This character triggering point, you know? I'm struggling to believe that this is the trigger for this character. There's so much more to him pre-picking up this fucking gun, you know? He was already a psychopath, sociopath, you know? Yeah, maybe the gun sets him off, but I'd have added a little bit more than him. Just these moments with the gun, I would have added a couple of more, like, crazy moments away from the gun. Just to cement it a little bit better, you know? Because we're going to get into this fucking Eugene character. Boy, is he a fucking fruitcake, man. So right now she's all about the job. I guess time, this is probably an issue right now with Megan. She's sort of post completed her training. So starting out in the job, she's probably not socializing a great deal, working like random hours. And you guarantee she's almost like some kind of like rookie cop. So they're probably putting her on the fucking night shift, you know. Putting her through her paces, you know. So very good so far. 25 minutes in. Loving it, man. So how are we reading the film right now? You'd have to say out and out action with the light undercurrent of kind of like sinister thriller vibe, I guess, to it. But as it stands, we're not crossing over into like full-blown horror. But we're going to get to that later on. It's more so in like the final act of the movie where it sort of like crosses genres, you know? So what's this guy? Is he making moves on her or not? I really can't tell, right? Are they friends? She doesn't seem to be very interested in him. Beautiful, eh? Oh, what, the male judging gaze again. Why would you want to become a police officer? That's a man's job. Oh, yeah, you chauvinistic pig. It's a constant gaze or questioning throughout this film, though, isn't it? Whether it's verbal or non-verbal, it's there, it looms. What I like about it, though, Catherine Bigelow, she's not like banging the audience over the head with these elements, you know, they're sort of like cleverly threaded in and out the movie throughout, you know. It's this fucking Eugene and his fucking bullets. Oh yeah, Eugene. I am a bit wet, son. Fucking hell, don't walk. Don't talk to me, Eugene, you crazy psychopath. So they're taking their time with this character, but just the way these moments are shot, and he doesn't seem that. I mean, the rain's pretty incessant, but he's not in a hurry. He can barely walk. He's still carrying this fucking gun. Oh, he's about to blow this guy away. So, are you telling me this is the first time this character's ever killed somebody? Look. Oh, yeah. Take the shot, son. It's my pop pistol. Oh, yeah. Send you into the fucking afterlife, you bellends. Yeah. You're on death's fucking doorstep, son. One-way ticket. Bang, bang. Yeah, great use of like slow motion. So he barely flinched. I don't know, man. Is this the first time this character's ever killed somebody? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not so sure, man. As I said, there's a prehistory to this character that they really don't get into. It's all like, I don't know. I struggle to buy into this. It's all triggered off the fucking game, picking up the gun. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just feel like there's a better way they could have gone about it, you know, setting up the character. So this guy's a completely annoying twat, isn't he? Taking her fucking badge. He couldn't wait to do it. I bet this character, this guy, isn't keen on having women in the fucking precinct. Look, he couldn't wait to get rid of her. Fucking bellends, you know? So the use of rain's kind of interesting. Incessant, you know? Sort of like raining on her and raining on her Eugene, isn't it? I don't know if they're sort of like setting up some kind of like symmetry between the two characters. I mean, fuck me, it's just raining in the city. They both live in the same city, so, you know. Am I reading too much into these moments? This moment in particular reminds me of the film Fatal Attraction, which would have been 3 years earlier, Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. Yeah, you could say to some extent Blue Steel riffs kind of loosely on Fatal Attraction in regards to how they set up, you know, this chance meeting between these two like random characters, you know. Kind of like a role reversal, though. I mean, clearly, obviously, the crazed character in Fatal Attraction is played by Glenn Close. It's sort of like a role reversal here, because obviously Eugene's the fucking nut job. So, I think you can do that, though. It can be a man or a woman plays the crazy type, you know? This is an interesting moment. Don't like the rain. He prefers isolation, doesn't he? Don't like noise. Love stillness. Controlling type A, Eugene. Yeah, something pops off, eh? The moment he fears, hears, sees, sounds, noise, he loses his mind. Initially, seems to be a fairly charming type, doesn't he? Willing to, like, oh, do you want to go and grab some food? No expense spared, you know? I mean, she's had a bad day. She's had her badge taken. It's kind of believable, isn't it? Yeah, okay, this guy. I barely know. Yeah, I'll go with him, you know? Sort of take her mind off it. Swanky ass fucking restaurant, isn't it? You know? Probably not the first time Eugene's been here, you know? So this is really interesting as well as an audience viewer, the fact that we know this is the guy who witnessed the shooting. So you're like, and you're kind of, he's just killed a guy. So you're thinking, oh, hell, how's this going to play out, man? And I think right now, am I reading? Yeah, I think right now Eugene don't realize this is the officer that killed the guy. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I think that reveal comes a little bit later. It was almost like destiny that they were going to meet, you know? What gives? He's very good throughout, Ron Silver. I mean, does he potentially steal the movie? I think Jamie Lee Curtis is incredibly solid throughout. Clancy Brown's good as well. But Ron Silver, I mean, yeah, he really goes to town with this character. There's just a lot to get into. I think I find this Eugene character fascinating, man. Stocks, trader, exchange, swimming in money, any, you know? A misanthropic enterprise. You could almost imagine this guy working underneath Gordon Gekko, you know? Cut from the same cloth, lacking in morals, all about control and power, wealth. Their downfall being, though, never content, you know? And you're reading this into, like, Eugene here, this moment here, he seems a little bit restless, you know? But she's not to know right now, Megan. Seems like a likable guy, you know? It's a classic New York City cab, yellow cab, gotta love it. I love the how they're using almost like yeah, a muted soundscape. It's score, but it an isolated sound effect just sort of lurking, brooding in the background. Clever in the sense, because technically he's just obviously saying good night to her, but yeah, something underneath the surface to all of the characters in this film, you know? Yeah, I was trying to sleep. Who are you? Internal affairs, they've taken my badge. I'm no longer law enforcement. Leave me alone. Fuck me, what's going on here? Internal affairs. So this is the fucking body, isn't it? And it connects to her, it's her. So it's got her engravings, her name, bullets. So this is starting to tick in now, kicking in now, the movie. Look at this fucking guy in the background. He's so fucking annoying, man. He wants to pin it all on her. Fuck me, man. You got a problem with fucking women? Let fucking Clancy Brown do the fucking talking interrogation. So she needs to let on the fact that, obviously, crime scene, somebody took the fucking gun. It's not really like a copycat killer. Sad, yeah. What can she say, man? I mean, she's as much in the dark as they are right now, you know? But I guess they've got to ask her. Clancy Brown's grilling her a treat. It's an interesting setup to his character, Nick Mann. Initially, you think, oh, he's another bastard, like this fucking twat to the right. But Clancy Brown character, Nick Mann, grows into the movie. You sort of like grow to like him, you know? Whereas, mate, he just like, oh, she's easily expendable. Yeah, he's just got no time for her. I think it's incredibly fucking harsh, man. But again, there's just like the male chauvinistic angle from the male dominant precinct, you know? He's got no time for women, you know? Basically, this fucking twat to the right's not fit to do his fucking job, you know? He's got this fucking agenda at play. You know nothing. Ha ha ha. So a bit of a stakeout, smoke out this guy. And of course, not realizing that she's already interacting with the guy. It's a very nice setup, man. I was sort of like cutting back and forth. He always, Ron Silver looks a little bit like fucking Ellis from Die Hard, doesn't he, with the facial hair? It's sort of like a classic late 1980s, early 90s look for a dominant male type, you know? The beard. He's got an interesting set of eyes as well, Ron Silver. Creepy man, but intelligent, charming. Oh, nice moment, this helicopter tour of New York City. Is this how he woos fucking women? No expense spared showcasing the city. Gorgeous shots of New York City here. One of the bridges, and obviously the Twin Towers in the distance. Kind of interesting. There we go. It's Empire State Building. This is gorgeous, man. Yeah, I do enjoy like New York City movies, like pre 9/11. Just sort of like reminds us of the city before that, obviously, hideous terrorist attack, you know. Beautiful shot of the Statue of Liberty. We'll probably get the Twin Towers in the distance here. Yeah, this is spectacular, man. All shot for real. You gotta love it, man. Yeah, gorgeous, man, with the Twin Towers in the background. That is epic. City that never sleeps. Again, you gotta love the use of music here. Minimalistic approach from Brad Fidel. Kind of like underscoring like this ominous soundscape angle. And does the theme in some way, or that how they use the music here, sort of tie in with this, obviously, this Eugene character, his longing for like isolation? Yeah, interesting, man. Guess when you perceive the city from above, you see it in a different light as well, psychologically speaking. Oh, he's kissing her. She's done for. Fuck me, man. So it begins. A fatal attraction, baby. She's not to know, though, and this guy, as it stands, being incredibly charming. So is she gonna let him inside? As they kiss again, fuck me, man. Not entirely sure where she's living, so it looks a little bit run down. So you got this contrast, you got a wealthy man and a relatively young girl sort of trying to find her way within the city. I wonder if they've frozen her fucking pay, the fact that they fucking suspended her. I would like to say. So another night passes. Oh yeah, Clancy Brown, just letting yourself into her fucking apartment. So he's keeping an eye on her. Who's the guy you're shacking going out with, you know? So it's like they're keeping tabs on her 24/7. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis got a wonderful look here. I love how they've done up her hair. Yeah, beautiful chemistry between these two. Clancy Brown and Jamie Lee. Very, very strong. I think they both do like edgy acting fairly well. It's a nice fade to black. Back on New York City with the soundscape. Oh, is this the fucking nightmare sequence? I can't recall. Yeah, she has a, it's a nightmare, ominous premonition of what's to come. Yeah, let's watch this, man. So will he hold on to her or not? He'll let her fall. This is a very interesting moment. Yeah, psychologically reading this nightmare suggests that subconsciously she's starting to have doubts regarding Eugene. There's something underneath the surface. Yeah, I love it, man. It's a slow journey, though, for Megan. The realization of who he truly is, you know. Yeah, it's fantastic how they sell that moment just within that like nightmarish dream sequence. I think it's very, very effective, you know. Oh god, it's sort of like coming up to like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like 2:40 a.m. Oh fuck me, another fucking body down by the fucking pier. Fuck me, man. So he's fucking dead here. So kind of interesting in the sense that they didn't show it this time. I kind of like that. Show the first one and then the second one. We're just sort of looking into it here. So are the bullets the same? So this is our training kicking in here, I guess. Right. Oh, you already know the fucking answer, Nick man. Yeah, he's getting off on it. He wants to see him suffer, innit? He wants to look him in the eye before he blows him away, you know? Pretty sadistic. Oh, fuck me, man. I love these, like, unhinged shots of Eugene at the fucking workplace, you know? Stock exchange, losing his mind, look. Yeah, look. Look at him in the fucking gym working out like a fucking A-grade fucking psychopath. He's pushing life to the limit right now, isn't he? Stocks, weights, and fucking killing out of control. Completely fucking unhinged. This is amazing from Ron Silver. Selling it with the fucking teeth. Grimacing teeth moments. Oh, fuck me, and now voices in his fucking head. What? Who's there? Yeah, this is like perceiving this moment for the first time. You're like, oh, fuck me, man. They are going balls deep with this fucking character. You're a god. Man is something that should be overcome. Just like what fucking Nietzsche said, eh? Or Nietzsche. German philosopher. Yeah, I believe everything he says about man overcoming God. So what has triggered the voices? I guess the voices have always been here, you know? Yeah, talk about layering in this character, man. Deep. This is some deep fucking shit, you know? Yeah, you gotta look. This Eugene character's certainly not one dimensional in any way. Heavily layered. God, he's conflicted. Stop talking! Fucking hell, man. How good is Ron Silver right now? Fucking hell, continue fucking working out. Yeah, bury the voice. Oh, fuck me now. He's gonna take out a fucking prostitute. Fuck me, man. Eugene's son. You need to turn yourself in, Eugene. When's enough enough, mate? On a date? Date with fucking death, eh? That look in his eye is terrifying. Stillness, isn't it? Is he raping her or killing her? I can hear it sound in the distance. Grunting male sounds in New York City. It's fucking desperate. Oh shit, I think he's just fucking killed her. Takes off his fucking top. Don't tell me he smothered himself in fucking blood. Fuck me, Eugene. What are you doing, mate? Stripping down. Like a fucking lunatic. Oh, there's blood everywhere. Fuck me, Eugene. He buried her. He buried her in her own. And now he's smothering her blood over his face. What the fuck is wrong with you, Eugene? This is not how you're supposed to live in this city, you maniac. So, still trying to find the guy. I mean, she technically still working right now. I've taken the badge away from her, but she's still obviously turning up to work. I guess she's sort of under the wing of Nick Mann right now, isn't she? Yeah, don't place the responsibility on her. It's not her fucking fault, Nick. But again, Nick's receiving orders from above, isn't he? I mean, he wouldn't normally treat her this way, grilling the shit out of her, but they gotta try and catch this fucking guy, you know? This is a classic cinematic moment, isn't it? At the firing range. She wants to get back on the fucking. She just wants her badge back, you know? It's like she's being controlled by men left, right, and center. Here he is. Yeah, sort of like a Fatal Attraction angle to the film right now, isn't it? Cranking up the sexual elements between these two characters. So there's no indication right now. She's not suspecting this guy in any way. Oh shit. Is this the first time? So we're at his place. I really enjoy this, like, persistent gaze of Eugene. Ron Silver, man. He's selling it all in the fucking eyes, man. It's fucking wonderful. Again, the use of music is fabulous, man. It's like the undercurrent of tension. You know, like, well, we know already with the character, Eugene. Oh, here we go, the fucking gun. Or it's her gun. He's got a fetish for guns. I mean, you could read this, man. Again, this is kind of like a power dynamic between men and phallic weaponry, symbolism. Who's in control, Is she going to let him dominate her, Fetishizing the weapon, innit? Phallic symbolism. Not saying the gun's a penis, but it's a undercurrent of like sexual foreplay to these moments. She's fallen underneath his fucking spell, isn't she? A little bit. It's totally believable, though. Take out your gun. So he's about to reveal, let on. Yeah, I'm trying to recall this, man. I think by now he knows who she is, i.e., the woman in the shop who killed the guy. And I think he's about to let on the fact that he was the guy on the ground who she obviously didn't see, Yeah, wonderful sequences. It's very interesting because they got to like deliver the lines in between like kissing each. All these like physical and verbal moments, beautifully staged. Here we go. Now he's about to get royally fucking unhinged. So he's got this weird ass fetish of her holding the gun. Oh yeah, bang bang, Eugene. It's like just so you did it. Yeah, I know. He knows who you are. Yeah, here we are. So it's like, oh, you released me. You triggered this fucking madness. You're the one. The moment I perceived you killing that guy, and then I picked up the gun. Is this the trigger, the justification of this guy's madness, Oh shit. She's slowly piecing two and two together here. Are you the guy currently fucking killing, mate? This is a fantastic sequence, man. Two of us, what? On a fucking murderous rampage around the city, Eugene. Oh, love it, man. She's attempting to arrest him immediately. This is fantastic, man. What a sequence, man. So dynamic. Simmering. Oh, fucking 911, and then, oh, don't fucking move. He's really unsettling, though, because Eugene, the fact that he's let on, and it's like he doesn't care. He's just like smiling at her. Oh, shit. And he's still willing to tell her the exact location. It's like he don't fucking care. Yeah, it's this whole angle with Eugene. He's otherworldly right now. So he's not even remotely bothered the fact that she's about to take him in, Well, we're fucking not, mate. It's like he wants her to behave like he does, you know. She's a million miles away from. There's no moment where you feel like, oh yeah, fucking Megan could end up like Eugene, you know. But it's this whole male dominance angle. Men attempting to dominate women, you know. Wow, the fact that he's crying is just making it even more fucking sinister right now. Spectacular moments here from Ron Silver. I think Jamie Lee's doing a lot. She's letting him have this moment. Yeah, it's just a fantastic sequence, man. That was a mass shows, man. They're in a fucking police cell. Hoodlums. Cramped. Eugene don't fucking care. So this is old Richard Jenkins. Plays an attorney. Mel Dawson. Old Jenkins. He goes on to appear in Shape of the Water. Anybody familiar with him as an actor? So are they going to believe her? Are you going to start believing her, matey, to the right? Are you still going to immediately like a continuation of the grilling? She did good, man. She smoked out the guy. At least give her some kind of credit, you know? Question is, what can they pin on him here? Course as well, this is this whole angle. Wealthy Wall Street type, he can get the best fucking lawyer, you know? Yeah, look. She knows because she's connected him to the fucking crime scene. He's fucking gonna get off, isn't he? Yeah, the structure to this film's fantastic. Coming up to like the midpoint, this is a perfect moment, you know. Letting all of these elements play out. Yeah, now it's shifting back the powers with Eugene. He's pissed off, but he's just sort of playing ball. Realize he knows he's getting off, you know, they can't pin anything on him right now. Kind of crazy, isn't it? Because she's right, but they need more evidence, you know? And he's this little sly fucking bastard, isn't he? She's gonna fuck him up, man. It's this ongoing struggle for Megan. Now, fuck off, Chief. Keep your mouth shut. Are you a help or a fucking hindrance, Chief? Oh, good. Come your male company, eh, Chief? Just the way you fucking like it. Shut your fucking mouth. Give it to him, Jamie Lee. Both fucking barrels. It's like this chief guy will never fucking believe anything she fucking saying. He's sort of slowly coming round, but Nick Mann knows fucking chief though. As I said. Yeah. I'll stay away, I don't get involved, you're useless. Oh, he's more concerned about the heat that's going to come down above from the fucking mayor. Fuck me, at some point, Chief, just do your fucking job, man, you know? So this is kind of nice. These little like, oh, this is the first time I saw like seeing these interactions. Best of friends, isn't it? But contrasting lifestyles. As I said, this Tracy Perez character, family girl, you know, a million miles away from Megan's current lifestyle, you know. That's not to say she hasn't got her life in order, but she's traversing her way down the career path, you know. So this moment coming up here is a little bit ridiculous, but it is what it is. We'll let it play out. Yeah, we're slowly... I mean, we're... Hola, Erie. Oh, hello, Eugene. Just appears from nowhere. Gonna kill her best friend. Take the slow motion death shot. I don't think Megan's clocked on to the fact that it's Eugene that's got hold of her. Yeah, because she didn't get a look of this, so she knows it's him. Don't even need to see it. So he's knocked her out. Fuck me, man. Yeah, we're starting to slowly cross genres here. And it's going to start functioning more like a fucking horror movie, you know? Cat and mouse game between Megan and Eugene. He's becoming more and more unhinged. Yeah, it gets a little bit farcical how he keeps like outfoxing her at these moments, you know. Best friend's dead. How unfortunate. It's like Eugene wants to make her fucking suffer now, innit? It's become personal. Get a nice use of music. So you've got to say right now, Nick Mann is definitely on board with Megan. Totally believes her. Yeah, she's like, I'm going to fucking take him down, man. A fucking psychotic bastard. Yeah, love it, man. Nick's not fucking about. Let's fucking go and see him, you know? Thing is, though, what have they got on him? Oh, how convenient, Eugene. You left your fucking door open. Deliberately. Realizing, kind of like Eugene, yeah, he's already put two and two. He's like, they'll come for me, so I'll just wait. Yeah, this is fantastic, man, with the kind of like silhouetted entrance moment. Music's fantastic. So it's like he's deliberately trashed his apartment. Realizing that they would come to collect him, and he's just sat there. Yeah, Eugene's working the fucking system. He knows. It's almost like he's got this weird understanding of like law enforcement. It's like, oh yeah, you're gonna finally, you got me. You think you got me? I fucking got you, love. Yeah, fuck him up, Megan. This guy's time will come. Yeah, what? Why'd you do it? Oh, now look, he's blaming them. Oh, look, and the fucking his attorney's here. Or if they just turned up, how convenient. So Eugene's deliberately staged it. Oh, look, she fucking trashed my apartment for no apparent reason. Now he's invited them over, pinning it back on her, you know? As I said, guys, we're now in the cat and mouse part of the narrative, you know? Yeah, it's... I mean, it's still an action movie, but now it's a full-blown, like, psychological fucking mindfuck, isn't it? Thriller. Yeah, I guess that's the only issue. She knows it's him, but she didn't actually see his face, so. Yeah, and they can get him off on that. Eugene knows as well. You never saw my face, so how do you know it was me? You know? It's great though, it's like an audience viewer. We're in the same boat as Megan, so it's really like ramping it up. As an audience viewer right now, you're hating the shit out of Eugene, you know? But kind of also enjoying the character as well, you know? Yeah, it's really. I mean, this film's 1990. I mean, I don't know how influential Blue Steel went on to be, but if you think of like films like, I don't know, Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Pacific Heights, Sleeping with the Enemy, I would like to think that Blue Steel was quite influential in regards to how we get like a slew of these like revenge thriller types. These OTT, either like male or female characters, sort of like wreaking havoc, you know? So, yeah, maybe Blue Steel was influential, paving the way for these like kind of like copycat movies, you know? What I will say though, those films I've just mentioned are all individually brilliant in their own right, you know? Single White Female's another one. So this is a studio shop absolutely selling the shit out of it with the rain effects and the sporadic colour sort of like coming, i.e. they're obviously driving around the city right now. So selling it quite well. Getting it all in like cutting close-ups, you know. So he's brilliant right now, Clancy Brown. Totally on board with her. So I like it how his character's sort of like, not like, sort of like come full circle, but initially you think he's a bit of a fucking bastard, but now he's coming good, you know? So at least she has one fucking man in her life that actually believes in her, you know? Yeah, Megan's getting put through the fucking wringer right now. Oh, she's going around to see her fucking parents, isn't she? Yeah, they're also going to set up the angle here with the father figure. Heavy drinker, abusive type. So she's got a very. She's got a strong bond with her mother, isn't she? But the father is so like dismissive of her daughter. And now the fucking mother's got bruising on her fucking arm, and she knows it's him. This is an amazing moment here. I love it. She just, yeah, look. It's like they're fucking related, and she just fucking shut up. Yeah, goes right after him. She needs to hear it from. Yeah, look. Oh, shit. Fuck that, man. She'll fucking lock you away. I don't care if you're my fucking father. Oh, I fucking love this moment, man. So fucking cool. Jamie Lee's absolutely fucking seen chewing the shit out of this moment. I don't think she was ever gonna bring him in. She wants this from him. I want to hear you say sorry. Are you going to start sorting out your fucking shit? That fucking pierced him, didn't it? I'm ashamed to be your daughter. Oh, that stopped you in your fucking train. I ain't no fucking big gob on you anymore now. Yeah. Start getting emotional, Dad. Are you going to fix your fucking shit? One more chance, isn't it? This is a nice moment, man. You kind of feel for him. You can see like he's tormented. She's gonna give him another chance, but one more fuck up and she will take him in, you know? Yeah, fabulous sequences. Kind of interesting, you like a moment like this with her father. I don't know, it's just sort of like kind of like justifies the reasons why. Oh, Eerie, oh fucking hell, Eugene, who invited you around the fucking family home? So we're now moving into a fucking full-blown fucking stalker movie, aren't we? Eugene's everywhere and nowhere. Yeah, it's just kind of, and if you also consider the fact that I'll see Jamie Lee Curtis, earlier part of her career, or still also post Blue Steel, I'll see the Halloween series. So this is kind of, I don't know if this is, I don't know if Catherine Bigelow's ever gone on record. Was this the reason why she wanted to cast Jamie Lee in Blue Steel? Because we get, it's more towards the latter part of this film where I think you can start to apply the Halloween references a little bit more closely. But I don't know if this was the reason why Catherine Bigelow cast Jamie Lee in this role. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, you got to say us as well. Megan Turner's a million miles away from Laurie Strode, but I kind of like it, man. And I can see the comparisons you could start to make here with the Halloween series and Blue Steel, you know. Eugene's going a little bit Michael Myers here. Only difference is, I'll see Eugene can fucking articulate himself. Ha. No, mate, this is the last time you ever perceive my fucking parents, mate. You come round here again, I'm gonna fucking blow you away. It's like she's got to play this fucking game right now. Because, yeah, you got to say, right now, Eugene, he's holding the cards, isn't he? She's got to figure him out, smoke him out. He's a complicated type, crazy. He's so fantastic, and he runs silver. He sells a lot of this shit just in the fucking eyes, you know? Oh, yeah, likable guy. Oh, wonderful, Megan. Eh? You got a new man in your life. Oh, yeah, sweet as rain. Kiss, kiss. See you again, Eugene. Come back, mate, whenever you want. Great underscoring again from Brad Fidel with the music. So there's full-blown fucking stakeout in it for Megan. Eugene's apartment. I mean, all she can do right now is try and catch him in on the act, isn't it, of murdering. That's all she's got. So Nick is on stakeout. Yeah, as it stands, all they can do is wait it out. I like it in the sense, though, how Eugene is like. They're staking him out, but he's also doing the same to her, you know? So, as I said, cat and mouse, back and forth. Ha ha ha. He's awesome, man. Nick, man. Yeah, I really enjoy the character. So, is this an actual real shot in New York City? Hard to tell, man. Oh, here he is. Is he leaving or not? Oh, yeah, Eugene. Another sweaty day along Wall Street. Don't lose your mind, son. The only angle they don't deliver with this character, I would have had him. He's got a bit. I would have added the fact that he's got a fucking drug problem, you know? Fucking, these moments are unbelievable. It's the voices in his head, man. It's just completely unique for a psychological thriller to go in this deep with a character, you know? Usually it's all on the surface, but they are internalizing the Eugene character a treat right now. Yeah, this is a fantastic scene. I don't know if this is Central Park or not. Yeah, nice man. Foot chase ongoing. Great focal shots again with these lenses. Are they just like isolating Jamie Lee within the frame? Yeah, really, really nice, man. So how demented is this fucking moment from Eugene? Dig in the fucking ground. What's he fucking? He's concealed something. Ah, he's a caveman smothered in mud. Fucking hell, Eugene. And that was me thinking you were about to head off to work. You change your fucking suit, mate, as we dig into the earth. He's earthbound, this fucking Eugene. Look. Completely lost his fucking mind. You gotta say, this is probably the voices in his head that are dictating these moments, you know? Oh, look, yeah, she's trying to smoke him out with the fucking gun. Grab it. She wants him to do it. It's just like she's keen to fucking kill him, but obviously there's got to be a justifiable reason to shoot him here and now. Fantastic sequence, man. It's just some beautiful light. Oh, flashing back to the moment, the gun. I still find that moment hard to believe, man. That was the triggering point for this Eugene character. Yeah, right. There's a lot more to him than just that moment, you know? That kind of, as I said, a prehistory. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, it's like Eugene. The way Ron Silver sells this sequence in particular, he's very like animalistic, isn't he? You know? Don't fucking say shit to her. But she's onto him, you know? Ha ha ha. I kind of like this Nick man. He doesn't. Well, obviously, at this point in the film, he's not like talking down to her. That's sort of like it's an even playing field, you know? I mean, he obviously believes what she's saying, you know? Yeah, I kind of like the pacing right now to the movie. We get these like super intense moments, then you get these like quieter sort of like dialogue sequences. I think it's a nice structure. I think you need it though, because the moments with Eugene are so fucking unhinged, you know? It's like you need a break from the fucking character, you know? So they're slowly starting to bond here, you know. I wonder if she's gonna let on here. Oh, it's just out and out. Guys of this type, these crazy types. Has she always lived in New York City? I mean, you watch the news, young girl growing up, there's a lot of shit go kind of like crazy shit go. Yeah, so law enforcement. You want to be righteous, do the right thing. Yeah, it's a believable choice as a profession, isn't it? You know, I'll fucking lock up these fucking bastards, you know, murderers, rapists, whatever it is, you know. Oh, don't tell me Eugene's coming back. It's not him, it's somebody else, man. Oh, look, she's clocking, locking up Nick. Not realizing that. Oh, fuck yeah. This is a nice sequence about to unfold here. That's a nice setup as well, because she's like, is it Eugene or not? Now she's cuffed Nick. So Nick is like restricted. He can't get out of the fucking car. Putting him in a fucking desperate situation. And then Eugene's a fucking bellend, so he always comes out of the fucking shadows when you least suspect it, you know? It's not who you think it is, Megan. It's a hillbilly hobo type. A shit flashlight. Let me guess, you only come out at night, look. Oh, here we go. This is a great moment. Yeah, watch this sequence between eye acting between Ron Silver and Clancy Brown. This is what I call a scene chewing off sequence between two fucking heavyweights. This is fantastic, man. I love it how Clancy Brown plays this moment. Because obviously Ron Silver's coming at him. Clancy's like, you want some, son? I'll give it to you. I'll give you teeth and fucking eyeballs. Yeah, Nick throws it right back at fucking Eugene. Go on then, mate. Go on then, you stupid fuckwit. Shoot me. I'll see you in fucking hell, bellboy. Oh, shit. Come on, Megan. Yeah, well done, Megan, to the rescue. Right, now. Oh, fucking hell. Fucking get him. Shoot him. Take the shot. He's unkillable now. Eugene's shifting into full-blown fucking Michael Myers mode. He's a fucking bullet sponge. Out of shots, Eugene. Time to fucking run, son. It's a little bit unfortunate that she cuffed him, not realizing that Eugene was about. At least she lets him out, gives him the fucking keys. Fantastic fucking foot chase around New York City. Music's amazing. Eugene running for dear life. And there was me thinking he was on a fucking death wish. Oh, she's lost track of him. Great visuals. Again, the choice of like lenses. How they're just like isolating her within the frame. Again, these repeated like helicopter shots of New York City are very effective. It's like you establish the visual style early on in the movie and then you repeat it throughout. It's very, very effective. What's a little pain, Eugene? He's now going to start getting off on the fact that he's just being shot. Look. Oh, yeah, I love the pain. Blood. Oh, yeah, Eugene. At least the pain will probably stop the fucking voices in your head, you fucking fruitcake. Oh, shit, he's in our fucking apartment. What the fuck, man? Oh, fuck me, he's in the fucking bathroom and they don't fucking realise. Fuck me, man. We are balls deep in fucking Sleeping with the Enemy, Fatal Attraction, and Halloween, and mix in a little bit of Point Break. Oh, fuck me, Catherine Bigelow. We're crossing multiple genres at play right now. This is amazing. So, how fucking random is that? The fact that he immediately went to her apartment. How fucking strange, man. He's lost his fucking mind, hasn't he? He can hardly say it's a tactical power play from Eugene. I mean, he didn't suspect the fact that they were going to. He was obviously like, I'm going to get her, so I'll go to her apartment. But he obviously didn't realise she's obviously come back with Nick, so. And I'll see this moment here. Fucking Nick and Megan about to get to know each other a little bit better. Eugene in the shadows, looming in like a fucking dickhead. Is Eugene the jealous? He's a crazy. Oh, he's listening in. Getting wide. His eyes are getting wider and wider. If you're a full-blown sadistic fuck, you gotta let him make out for a bit. Let it play out. A sadistic type would just get off on the sounds in the distance, the kissing, the caressing, the tonguing. Oh yeah. Start touching yourself, eh? Hey, Eugene. Clancy Brown, whose chest are you tonguing? Oh, Eugene's getting locked and fucking low. Is he gonna take them both out? Let me guess, you'll probably kill Nick first. Spare her for a little bit longer, you know? Kind of weird, isn't it? Witnessing a lovemaking scene involving Clancy Brown. I don't know why it seems a little bit odd. It's more his fucking hair, isn't it? He's just like an odd-looking guy. It's all right though. They're not. It's not too gratuitous as a sex sequence, but it's just weird as hell watching Clancy Brown making out here with Jamie Lee Curtis. How fucking strange! And then you fucking add fucking Ron Silver into the mix, smothered in blood. Yeah, it's great. Editing, music, intercutting. Tense as hell, isn't it? He's just gonna wait. Is he gonna wait, leave? He's gonna take the shot. Concealing Prince. Oh, you know what he's fucking doing here? He's gonna pin it on her again, isn't he? Cat and fucking mouse, isn't it? Pinning everything on her. All these hideous acts that are unfolding, pin it back on her, you know? Oh, shit. So that is a ridiculous moment. It's just blown him away, and how convenient the sound of the gunshot was subdued by a random passing car out, a fucking ambulance or police car outside. That's fucking ridiculous, man. How fucking convenient. Only in fucking horror cinema would you get such a moment. But I love it, man. Oh, time for some Jack Daniels. Oh yeah. Oh, this is fucking. Look at fucking Eugene. He's butt fucking naked. I am gonna crush you, whore. Don't defy me. This is a game of cat and mouse. Anyone for her fucking scotch? Fucking hell, Eugene. Stop the fucking snarling. He's just trying to crack her fucking neck. Jack Daniels, bitch. Kick it all butt naked. It's fucking ominous. Get out of there, Jamie Lee. Take the shot. Oh, he's a bullet. How many times she fucking shot him now? That's two. Great, how the camera pulls back, tracking her through the fucking hallway. It's amazing. Where's the bastard too? Do fucking bullet sponge. I've shot him twice and he keeps coming back. Does this remind you of a fucking franchise, G? It's the Halloween series. Great POV shot. It's a staple of Catherine Bigelow, isn't it? Subjective camera. Don't think Nick's dead here. I think he survives, if I recall. Oh, here comes fucking Chief A-hole to point the finger back at her. Fuck me, man. Yeah, this Chief character, you need to cut her some fucking slack here, man. Can't you see she's being put through the fucking ringer? Yeah, I think he's finally gonna start believing her. Nick's all right, he's gonna make it. Kind of nice how they've Nick getting shot. It takes him out of the picture momentarily. So now she's isolated as we move into the final act. Yeah, brilliant, man. Great sort of like character narrative choice. She's got to face the monster, you know? The unkillable foe. Yeah, you gotta say the film right now is we are a balls deep in the horror genre, aren't we? You know? Action horror. Who'd have thought it? Only Catherine Bigelow can pull off such a cross-genre effect. Great shots of Eugene. Oh, bang, bang. Oh, pin it on you. The bullet's on you, love. Oh, kill your best friends. Another fucking nightmare. Nice as well to have another nightmare. She had a nightmare at the start of the movie when she didn't realize who he was ultimately, but subconsciously suspecting. It's not the first time we've seen Jamie Lee in a fucking nightgown in a fucking hospital. Hey, Halloween 2, time to break out. Here we go, it's time to get suited and booted. This is a great moment. So she's getting kitted out in the police attire, not waiting for somebody to give her the opportunity. She's going to deal with this bastard. You gotta love this man. Taking control. All right, yeah, woman in a man's world. Think again. The woman's going to get the job done. Because Nick Mann is out for the count, but he will survive. Great moments here with the use of music. Love her. She exits outside and we can hear sirens. She's on a fucking mission into the fucking smoke. I love the blue effect. Oh, this is fucking amazing, man. Symbolism of this character. Stepping into Eugene's fucking cityscape nightmare lair. Yeah, she can't afford to get spotted here. Yeah, because as it stands, Chief ain't giving her back her badge, but she's no longer gonna wait for this to play out, you know? Great shots of New York City at night, man. So where's she going? Don't tell me she's heading all the way down to his fucking apartment. Again, almost like repeated shots of the city. This is fantastic, man. Absolute fucking hellhole, isn't it? Oh, as we transition to the early hours of the morning. Okay, we've got a subway sequence here. Is she just like wandering aimlessly around the city? Now we're in the subway. Or does she realize, has she been tracking his movement, realizing, oh yeah, he always catches the subway early? Oh no, he's now fucking behind her like a fucking hoodlum. Cat and mouse. And there was me thinking she was moving in on him, other way round. Ah, oh, she shot him again. So he's been shot three fucking times and he's still not dead. We need to land a fucking chest shot. Oh, don't miss. Oh, great slow motion bullet. Yeah, nice, man. It's heavily stylized, isn't it? It's super like cinematic. Oh, no. Cat and mouse foot chase finale ending. Yeah, it's got to end here, isn't it, Megan? It's the last stand sequence unfolding. I can't believe he's been shot three fucking, say, fucking bullet sponge, isn't he? Eugene slash Michael Myers, baby. Oh, and now he's waiting for her. It's like he knew she'd come up. Fuck me, Eugene's like borderline fucking supernatural right now, you know? Kind of interesting as well where they're staging this finale to. Are we right on the doorstep of Wall Street? How convenient, man. Yeah, I think we are. I think this entire sequence is shot along Wall Street. How fitting, you know? That's it, Megan. You blow away this Wall Street wanker type called Eugene. Kill him. Yeah, it's Wall Street. Yeah, this is amazing, man. Classic supernatural fashion. He's no longer there. Specks of blood. So where is he hiding, Sue? The bastard. Yeah, Jamie Lee's selling this well. She's like tourniqueted up her left arm. Yeah, look. Where is this fucking bastard? Oh, how come Eugene's hiding behind the hot dog vendor? Fucking bell end, isn't he? Hot dogs and Coca-Cola, smoked sausages. Time to smoke him out, Megan. It's an overly cinematic ending shootout, isn't it? Oh, fuck me, man. Could a sequence be any more fucking stylized? It's very effective. She needs to land a fucking headshot. But then again, I wouldn't put it past Eugene to get back up, you know? And he's almost unkillable. Like, as he just walks towards her. Fuck me, Megan. Let's get some fucking bullets locked in, love. Take him out. End him. End him now. Lovely rack focus. Get down. Oh no. Civilians about to get killed. Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, Eugene, I just think at this point, he's so unhinged, he just don't fucking care, you know? So now she's just driven into him, flipped him over. Let me guess, he's still not dead. And he gets up again, like the fucking Terminator. What the fuck? Michael Myers has got nothing on Eugene. This is some next level horror action, Jamie Lee. Can you finish him or not? Beautiful close up on her eyes. Love it, man. Yeah, she's got him. Great. Are we gonna rack focus onto the fucking gun off her? Do it. Take the shots. Take him out, bang in the chest. Yeah, I would be making sure. Keep shooting. It's a chilling ending. Kind of like his lifeless eyes. Wow, man. It's like nothing needs to be said now. Yeah, I really like this ending shot here on her side on in the car. Forlorn, desolate, job done, but yeah, where's this character going to long term? The psychological damage, you know? You do wonder. I'd like to think she'd be more respected now, you know? She got the guy. Yeah, I don't half appreciate films that end in this manner where the film just ends. It's like there's nothing more that needs to be said, you know? Just roll credits. I don't know, long term with this Megan character, I think she'd probably leave the fucking city. So I'm out of here, man. I can't live here. This fucking hellhole, you know? So there we have it, credits. Ah, oh, fantastic movie, man. It's stellar. Severely underrated, man. Multi-layered, multi-genres, you know. And the beautiful thing is, well, and the fact you can interpret this film in many different ways, you know. Struggle between men and women, feminist piece, you know. Crossing over genres, horror, thriller, action, you know? Yeah, fantastic, man. So just winding down the credits here, guys. Yeah, I've covered a couple of Catherine Bigelow. I've also covered Strange Days. I think at some point, probably get to like Point Break. I think she's an incredibly interesting filmmaker, man. She's very. I really admire her choices as a director. Always like pushing the envelope, you know? Yeah, she's just really fascinating as a filmmaker, man. I find her films highly watchable, man. You know, quite deep. With like characters, you know, plot points. So I'm a fan, you know. And I don't really like perceive her as like, oh, she's a woman, she's a female director. She's just a fantastic filmmaker. I don't really don't see like that apply like male or female. She's just a wonderful filmmaker. So I don't really get into any of that. I mean, you could look at Blue Steel and from that perspective. Kind of interesting that it's a female director making a movie of this nature. I mean, normally, yeah, maybe you would say it's a male dominated genre, but nah, she's just a wonderful filmmaker. So cool, guys, winding down the credits. Hope you enjoyed it. Oh, man, I don't half appreciate or really enjoy the Eugene Hunt character. Fascinating character. Really, really in depth. You know, Ron Silver does a lot with the character, you know. Verbal and unspoken, you know. And a real shout out to how they showcase New York City, man. Really great, man. Some great, like, aerial shots of the Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, Twin Towers, you know. And like in and around the city itself, yeah, fantastic. So the year's 1989, but the release date was 1990. Today we've been covering Blue Steel, directed by Catherine Bigelow, starring Jamie Lee Curtis as Megan Turner, and I'm signing off. Bye, guys. Bye bye.